We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Fourth and final quarter of this episode of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the best single game RV value in Happy Valley. You can check them out at GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games, a shuttle, projection TV in the parking lot, free Wi-Fi, and you can enjoy tailgating with 409 barbecue and wine and Labatt Blue beer. Go to GoPSURV.com for all the details. It's a pretty awesome deal. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here. Just taking a tour around college football, trying to sort out the college football playoff. And we got a little bit more clarity this past weekend about, you know, who the players are. And this is bound to happen as the season goes on. You have a lot of teams that emerge as pretenders, and you're trying to figure out who those are. No disrespect to LSU on that one, but they were a pretender in losing 29-0 to Alabama. They came into that one ranked number 3 in the AP poll. They were held to 12 rushing yards and 25 carries. Tua Tagovailoa, 295 yards, 2 touchdowns. His first interception of the year. Bama ran for 281 yards, averaged 7.6 yards per carry. And I think the theme coming out of this one, obviously Alabama, it's going to take a lot for them to play themselves out of the college football playoff. Certainly 2 losses. I think 1 loss Alabama, because they've been so dominant, Greg, is in. The talking point is the difference in this Alabama team now that they have a true impact player at quarterback. I think we've brought this up on a few occasions, but with Tua Tagovailoa doing what he's doing and being a guy that you have to account for, being a guy who can make plays all over the field, boy, it just changes this Alabama juggernaut for the better.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely it does. I mean, it's sort of not quite similar to what Michigan has with Shea Patterson, because Michigan's not quite that good. But Alabama now has the ability to smother you defensively. But if for some reason it's having an off night, it could sort of always play with you, even in a shootout. But I don't think it's ever been this equipped to play in a shootout with anybody. I mean, it's just incredible how talented he is and how he changes that offense. They're just a wrecking ball. I mean, it's going to sound ridiculous maybe, but what's the point of even finishing out the season? I mean, who's beating Alabama? I don't think Clemson is. They're flawed. I don't think Notre Dame is. Ian Book has been really good. That's actually a really good Notre Dame team in my opinion, but I don't think they're beating Alabama, and guess what? Michigan's not either. So unless there's some sleeper team that, or you know, you catch Alabama on an incredible off day, I just don't think that this is the group that, you know, that I don't know if anyone's going to touch these guys or even get close to doing so.
As funny as it might sound, the team that I think has the best shot to beat Michigan or beat Alabama is Michigan.
Yeah.
Because of the way that they play on every layer of their defense, because of the way that they've got big boys, they've got NFL type players who are rushing the passer, they make the field seem small. They've got corners who can stick. They've got, you know, experienced safeties. They've got versatile linebackers. They've got the formula to slow down Alabama's offense. The question, of course, is can they move the ball offensively? And this question is relevant today because if things go down the stretch, how they've gone so far, how they look like they're going to go, there's a decent chance that Alabama's the number 1 seed and Michigan's the number 4 seed, and you could have a real throwback kind of football game in the semifinals.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that just amazes me is that Alabama's offense, just looking at the numbers, wasn't even that great against LSU, and they still beat them 29-0, and just I can see that same game plan playing out in an Alabama Michigan where Michigan holds on for dear life for maybe the first, 30, 35 minutes, and then Alabama just squashes them like a bug. And, you know, and even if Tua has a rough outing, even if the offense is only getting 6-7 yards a play, it still won't really matter because, you know, at the end of the day, that team just has too many playmakers and so many guys that can make plays that it's just hard to – it's really hard to envision a time or way where anyone's going to hang with them for full 4 quarters.
So on the other side of that SEC, Georgia beats Kentucky 34-17. Really beats them pretty handily. It's the second time in a row, the second week in a row, they've beaten a top 10 team. They also beat Florida at home a couple weeks ago. 2 weeks before that, they lost their only game of the season on the road to LSU. That was an LSU team that was just fired up to win that game, and they did it. It's the kind of threat that the SEC poses. But you look at Georgia's schedule. Home against Auburn, home against UMass, home against Georgia Tech to set up the SEC championship game against Alabama. Good chance that they're a one-loss team. Really, if Georgia loses to Alabama in the SEC championship game, they're out. Where things could get really interesting is if they beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, because then I think they're in. The question is, at whose expense? If Notre Dame wins out, if Michigan wins out, Clemson and Alabama are locks as long as they win out. I think Alabama, if they lose, they're still in. That's where things could get really interesting, and I wouldn't put it past anybody. And for as somebody who appreciates the chaos of all this, I want this to happen.
Yeah,
I want it to happen, and
we need something to be entertained by, because again, Alabama versus anyone is not going to be entertaining.
So. Yeah, Alabama, Georgia will have a big impact here, and like I said, I think you get two SEC teams in if this is a close game and Georgia wins it, because Alabama has been so good for so long, and then Clemson is in. The question is who's out.
Right.
If Notre Dame is unbeaten at that point in time, they're still in. There's a possibility that Michigan, for all the good they've been doing, there is a scenario here where they don't get into the college football playoff, even if they do beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that'll be the case, but you're right. It certainly could be. Yeah, at this point, I think the Notre Dame-Michigan head-to-head matchup only matters as long as those two teams are being compared against each other. Otherwise, you know, the one loss that Michigan had, again, it was so early in the year, the committee has endlessly shown that they're willing to sort of overlook or forgive losses early in the season. So, yeah, to me, I just think that if Michigan can win out, I think they're in. But if they lose, I don't think the Big Ten's getting the team in. I just have a hard time seeing that.
Yeah, that's what another scenario that could get really interesting with Ohio State is Ohio State's looked so vulnerable, and they've looked so by their standards, mediocre for a bunch of weeks. And it started with that Penn State game. To lose to Purdue the way that they lost, to have to really work hard to beat Nebraska, which I believe that was at home, was it not? 36-31, they beat Nebraska.
Yep.
It's a team that's leaking oil. And if they find a way to bring it together and beat Michigan at home, it's not going to do a good thing for the Big Ten, I think. Let's put it that way. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're wrapping up here, looking at around the college football playoff situation, just trying to go league by league to figure out, you know, who's got a shot, who doesn't, what we might see that can change the narrative over the next 3 or 4 weeks. Clemson 9-0 right now. The offense, you know, talk about a team that's different now than they were a month ago. You know, they make that change, they make that decision. Kelly Bryant to the bench. Trevor Lawrence, their true freshman quarterback, takes the reins of the offense. It creates a little bit of a tumultuous situation with Kelly Bryant opting to transfer. But now you see them averaging 60 points a game over the last four. And I think that offense is legit with Lawrence pulling the strings. And I think it's a more dangerous Clemson team than I thought they would be at this stage.
Does Boston College have any chance?
I don't think so.
It's going to be played up all week as they have a chance.
Oh, 100%. And they're going to Boston to play it, which works in their favor. But Clemson just scoring too many points, you know. And you know that they've got as much physical talent on the defensive side of the ball as anybody. So if they're – you have to – you know, they're at a point now where if you want to look at a winning – recipe, you're gonna say you gotta hold Clemson south of 50 points to have a shot to win,
right? And
I don't know, realistically there's a lot of defenses who can set the bar much higher than that.
No,
if they're playing Alabama, that's a different thing. If they're playing Alabama, I say Alabama wins as long as they can hold them south of 28. But really any other team in the country, this is a hard offense to slow down.
It really is. And it doesn't help that, you know, now that Trevor Lawrence is sort of ingrained, I think a lot of people were skeptical of whether that change was going to work. I think it's worked really, really well and in their favor. And so ultimately, that gives them just another weapon to play with. They're good, man. They're a good football team. Boston College, who they play this week, and I'm sure game day might go there. And everyone's going to tout it as, you know, a chance to, for, you know, Boston College to upset the Clemson Tigers. I just don't see it at all.
No, I don't see it either. Isn't it interesting, by the way, to start the season, you saw several high-profile teams going with these two quarterback systems, and the assumption was made kind of like this is what you do in college football now. Georgia, Alabama, you look at Clemson was doing it too. I'm sure there's one or two that I'm not thinking of offhand. But really, it was just an extended audition of your quarterback situation. Get your number two guy, especially with this four-game redshirt rule, can help you in that. But you get both guys involved. You keep them involved. And then once you get into conference play, you make your choice. And this is still how you win college football games, is by having your guy at quarterback. And their guy for Clemson is Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
Ian Book took over the Notre Dame job and changed the way that this offense run. It's a defense first program still. They've got some elite talent on that side of the ball, but it's an offense that can be opportunistic and make some plays now. Brandon Wimbush is not getting this job back. Book has been really sound and instinctive, and like Shea Patterson does for Michigan, make just that handful of plays to lead your team to a win. They beat Northwestern 31-21. The Big 12 setting up for an interesting finish. Oklahoma at West Virginia in the season finale. You could see a rematch of that game in the Big 12 title game. What happens if either team wins both of those games will be interesting. West Virginia, I love Dana Holgorsen. They score what should have been the tying touchdown. He says to his quarterback, Will Grier, "You want to win the game? Let's win the game." They go for two. They win it. They move up, I believe, number seven in the AP poll.
Yeah.
And now you've got, you know, Oklahoma, West Virginia. One of these teams could be in position just outside that top four going down the stretch, who can jump in there if chaos happens and they get an opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So one other thing, I guess, to wrap this up quick, just national thoughts. Two coaching searches already underway, one at Kansas. And I think that it's important to remember that you're going to hear a lot of names linked to a lot of different jobs. This is just the start of silly season. So I don't know if anyone from Penn, like Brent Pry, has been linked to a lot of jobs in the past. Keep in mind, they're all lists. They're all just candidates. It's not the end of the world if a Penn State coach ends up on one of those. Like I said, I don't know if any Penn State coach will, outside of maybe Brent Pry, but, you know, we'll see. He has turned down some other opportunities. So
the way things are going, I don't think a lot of Penn State fans will be crushed to see any kind of forced change in the coaching.
Fair.
For better, right or wrong, I think that's just the vibe right now. Is, you know, what bad could come of a shakeup in the coaching staff?
No, yeah, I mean, it sometimes can help. There's no question about that.
One final note, UCF, still no shot to get in. Good luck, guys.
See ya.
Undefeated. That's just the way things are. You can talk about the system.
You want to play at the big table, get in the Power 5 Conference.
If you want to play at the big table, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We'll see you next time.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course, Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.